the last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Well, as we're struggling to deal with the reopening of various facilities as the restrictions are loosened, and as we look forward to how we're going to sort out this mess with the schools, we decided we'd go back to Denmark again. We're going to Tom Carstensen, who we've met on the programme a couple of times before, telling us how the easing of lockdown restrictions has been working out for Denmark. And he joins us now from Copenhagen. Tom, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. And actually, I'm interested as a sports fan to hear, you were at a football match last night. There was a crowd at a Copenhagen FC football game. Tell us about this.
Yeah, I was, sorry, I wasn't at it. It was in the other end of the country, but it was my team that played Aarhus, one of the bigger teams here, and there were 8,000 people there. I'm going this Sunday against Brøndby, which is our big derby here in Copenhagen. There were 8,000 people at a stadium with a normal capacity around 19,000. So they have started letting people in. There has to be one seat in between each spectator. They let in a certain number according to the seats in general, but also how many exits and entrances there are. I think Copenhagen will probably have about 14,000 this coming weekend at a normal 36,000 seat of capacity. So yes, for sports fans, it's good news. We can actually go out and watch football again.
It'd be interesting to see how it works out for you entering and exiting the ground, going to things like going to the toilets. I don't know whether you'll be allowed to get food or drink at the game.
Yeah.
And just to see if people observe the requirement to sit 1 meter distance from everybody else, because that takes away a lot of the collegiality that you would normally get of a crowd in a game.
Well, the thing is, what they've done, technically, they divide the stadiums into sections of 500, because they had the football clubs complained to the government, because you could go to the movie theater with 500 people in a 1,000-seater capacity. And they said, hang on a minute, we have fresh air. Why can't we do that? And then they made this deal. So they divided the stadium into two sections of 500 people. And those sections also have to have individual toilets. If you are to purchase anything, that has to be in that section as well. You can't be running back and forth between the sections. But yes, there could be issues with the cheering. We had our cup final last week turned into a gigantic mess because some ultras decided to group together in one big pile of 200 police, went in, and it got ugly. I think that made everybody realize, okay, the authorities are taking this seriously, so will the rest of us. I mean, most fans wouldn't do that because they're not as dumb as these guys were, but we have had this issue. But yesterday there were absolutely no issues. I mean, if you looked at the screen, yes, maybe one or two were sitting without a seat between them, but that could be a father and a son or a husband and wife, you know. So it's kind of, it wasn't big lumps of people. It seemed to be observed quite well.
Okay, I want to ask you about other things, because we're having issues. Our restaurants are reopened, pubs have reopened, but only those that serve food, and the remaining pubs are going to reopen in the next couple of weeks. And we also have issue with people congregating on the streets and drinking, which we were talking about earlier in the programme. How has it worked out for you? Because you've had your pubs and restaurants open for quite a while now in Denmark.
Yeah, and we've had the same issues with the people congregating and police having to go out and break it up. The limit of people being together now is quite high here, so it's not quite as big an issue as it was in the beginning. The pubs, I mean, my local, sounds corny, but my local Irish bar that I actually go to has normally, I think, and on Saturday night, it's quite small. There would be about 70 people, maybe. They can take in 40 now. Saturdays and Sundays, they'll lose some money, but otherwise, it seems like they are pretty much as open as they would normally be. Closing hours are different, though. We have to shut at 12. That's not normal for Danish people. We're not used to that. Restaurants, I mean, there has to be some more spacing, but they have changed in most places from 2 meters to 1 meter, which means it's a world of difference for the restaurants, because if you're running a restaurant and you are running at 50% capacity, there is not many restaurants in the world that could make that work economically, because they just don't have that big a surplus in their business model. So the 1 meter thing is hopefully going to save a lot of businesses. But of course, there are a lot of businesses that have closed and not opened again, including pubs and restaurants.
What about wearing a face mask on public transport or going into supermarkets and other shops? Is that being observed, or is that even required?
It's never been required, and you see few people do it, very few, to be honest. But people seem to, I made the grave mistake of going to IKEA yesterday because we bought a new house, and there's quite a few too many people there, I thought. But besides that, people seem to be quite good at observing it, observing this distance, not sneezing into each other's faces, just kind of keeping that little more distance than we used to. People seem to be acting quite sensible around it, but face masks were never a requirement, and I see it very rarely. Most often it's people that you would actually see do it before, people from the Far East who actually do it and have done it for many years as a part of their culture to protect their surroundings against their own colds.
What about public transport? Are people using public transport?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to sit. If you're on the train, you're not supposed to sit directly across from someone else, unless it's your family, of course. Buses are pretty much all the seats are turning in one direction in Danish buses, so that's not really a big issue. And they are being used. I mean, I use it. And again, it's just, I mean, you have to have, for many of the regional trains, you have to have an allocated seat, or at least you have to buy like a ticket that says you have an allocated seat, and then they will only sell a certain amount. So if there's too many sold, you just can't enter the train. I haven't had an instance yet where it wasn't room for me. So people are using it, but perhaps a bit less than normal. But now it's the summer holidays, so a lot of people are not using it as much.
Now, what about the situation with schools? Are schools on holidays now at this stage?
The schools, I mean, my daughter's school at the end of this, they finished a week ago. She's 8. And her class was all together, the 20. But there were only 20 in her class. And it's a new school, so the classrooms are quite large. We just moved to another town. And in that school, the classes were still divided because it's smaller classrooms. So it's not like all rules for one school. We kind of do it as good as we can on each school. But most children are back and have been back. I think a few of the oldest ones, I mean, universities, for instance, have not come back. Some of the older students have done mostly homeschooling. But by far, most children have been back in as normal school as possible for quite a while.
What about teenagers, what we would call here in Ireland secondary school before they go on to university? That's going to be an enormous issue for us as to how they return to school in September with social distancing. What's been done with older children in Denmark?
But they came back. I mean, what we call high school up until, 17, 18, before they go to university, they had their going away parties where they drive around in big trucks in Denmark. It's the thing we do here and sing on those and have a party. And that happened. They obviously said they had to have some social distancing. But again, it's quite hard to make these things happen in real life with kids and young youth. But again, when the children went back to school, we didn't see a spike in infections. We've seen a small spike after some big demonstrations. We don't know if that's where it came from, but we did not have a big spike after kids went back to school, possibly because kids don't seem to carry the disease that well, or at least become sick from it. So as far as I understand, everyone's going to try and aim to get back to completely normal when we start back in August for the smaller children and September for universities. That's the plan anyway, but things can change.
But the important point, just to finish, Tom Carstensen, in Denmark, is that when you have relaxed the restrictions, you haven't had a major surge in new cases, have you?
No, we haven't. We had a small surge, but that was after a while. And I mean, after my daughter had been back in school for about a month, the numbers of infected in hospitals, the number in hospital beds were still as low as they had been since this whole thing broke out. There was no big resurgence. So no, I think that's as you say, the key point. Regarding the children anyway.
Tom, there is one other thing that just struck me that I should ask you about. What about flights into and out of the country? Because that's another major issue for us here in Ireland as to whether we should be allowing such flights.
Well, you have them. There's not that many because a lot of people won't travel. And I mean, SAS are a big airline, which is co-owned by Denmark, Norway, Sweden, even Finland, I think, has just laid off 1,600 people last week. So there are not that many flights at all. There are very few flights, but they can fly from here. And I mean, then it's the EU rules. Where can you go to and from? The Schengen countries, as far as I know, you can go to them. But you can't just fly to America and back unless you have a really good reason.
But are Danish people thinking of sun holidays in Mediterranean countries, for example? Or is that something that Danes do?
It's something we always do. And when the borders were, we were told that before we wouldn't be able to leave until the end of August, and then it was changed till end of June. Quite a few people got pretty angry because they'd paid large amounts of money for summer cottages in Denmark, and they would have rather have gone south. That annoyed a few people, but I don't think many people will be going this year. Maybe a bit later. I mean, there hasn't been a big resurgence in in these chartered holidays, Thomas Cook and whatnot, that been there hasn't been a big surge in that since they opened up. I think many people are a bit reluctant. And also because, I mean, some of the countries were, I mean, Spain and Italy are some of the countries we go to most from Denmark, and they were hit very hard. And even though Italy has opened for tourists, I think Spain has as well. I think some people would be reluctant to go there anyway, because what if something changes? Can we get home? What's going to happen if it all goes to hell again? Pardon my French.
Maybe,
so I think maybe
people
would
you're
be
being
very
more careful
to...
than a lot of Irish people intend being. Tom, thank you very much for joining us. Fascinating to hear what's going on in Denmark. That's Tom Carstensen.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.